Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. I'll tell you this, the military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak, stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Brian, back for the third time. Good morning, man. How's it going?
Good. Good to be here.
All right, so you got a lot of new updates. Let's get going on that.
Yeah, sure. So it's been a minute since I was on. Probably, you know, I don't know when that was, October last year or something.
Right. Yeah, remind everybody who you are and what your focus is and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey since 2023 has been related to the harm that VA is doing to veterans and and by extension, you know, their families, their friends, their teachers, their pastors, everything, right? There's a ripple effect every time a veteran dies, anybody dies, but you know, the veteran community is pretty tight. I'm not a veteran, I'm the survivor of a veteran that the VA killed, basically. So, you know, my son visited the VA one time for an eye exam, and he went home with a prescription for Wellbutrin or bupropion, and he received that April 5th of 2023, took 8 pills and killed himself on the 8th day. So he died April 13th, 2023. And ever since that time, you know, there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of introspection, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of, you know, what I would refer to, I guess now they're saying it's moral injury. You know, it caused me to doubt everything in my life because what the hell? One of my kids, we had 4 children. He was number 2. And this just came out of the blue. You know, nobody expected it. Nobody saw it coming. And so the journey we've been on since that time has been, you know, collecting up as much data as we could. You know, had some trouble getting his medical records from the Army, from the VA. And then, you know, that started this whole process of trying to figure out what the heck do you do, you know? And one of my goals, by the way, is to set up kind of a what do I do next guide for survivors of veteran suicide in particular. What can I do? What should I do? You know? And so there's a clock that starts ticking at the moment that you find out that your loved one is dead. And that relates to the Federal Tort Claims Act. This law was passed back in the 50s, I believe, that it's supposed to help you. That's the proposed reason that it's there, is to help the loved ones. It's to prevent, you know, predatory attorneys from taking money and stuff. So if you sue the government, you have to go through the Federal Tort Claims Act. And so the VA, the DOD, they all fall under the government, right? So you're effectively bringing a case against the United States of America, which is, you know, intimidating and humbling at the same time. And so you have to file this tort claim within 2 years of the event. So for us, that started April 13th or April 14th, you know, 2023. So we just passed that anniversary. And when I was on last, I think there was still a lot of uncertainty. I had not found an attorney. I had talked, you know, I want to say over 24, you know, law firms all over the country. I talked to guys in Arizona and Montana and Utah and Colorado and Michigan, Florida, D.C., you know, and nobody would take the case. And part of that is the Federal Tort Claims Act limits lawyers take from whatever award you get if you end up going to court or whatever, to 25%, and then double indemnity or whatever, double jeopardy. In Montana, they have a state law that says you are limited to $250,000 for medical malpractice, which is absolute horseshit. So, right. In effect, the lawyers look at that and they go, okay, Federal Tort Claims Act, they get 25%. Oh, you're only going to get $250,000. That means I get 60 grand.
So this happened in Montana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was living in Butte. He was living the life of Riley, dude. He didn't have to work. He was 90% disabled, you know, from the Army. He had money in the bank, paid off his truck, going to school, getting A's, having a blast, you know. He was an outdoorsman. He was going to Glacier National Park and Yosemite or Yellowstone, and you know, all places all around Montana. His you know, he could have gone to school in Ohio. OSU offers the same program that he wanted, which was welding technology and mechanical engineering. And so those two things together, you know, major and minor, were offered at OSU and Montana Technological Institute in Butte. And so his attitude was, I grew up in Ohio, so I'm going to Montana. And you know, he was living with an Army buddy, and you know, they got a two-bedroom loft apartment in downtown Butte. It was really a trippy place, but anyway, so since that time, you know, fought to get the data. I ended up contacting the congressman in, he's actually a representative, Ryan Zinke in Montana. His office got me in touch with their Veteran Affairs group, and they freaking kicked down doors, dude. The minute he got in touch with the VA, I had a package in the mail 2 days later. And I had been fighting, this is in August, I had been fighting for over a month just to get them to respond to me. Are you going to give us the data? When are you going to give it to us? You know, and they just wouldn't, they stonewalled me completely. And then Zinke's office got involved, and it was just like, bam, magic. So that's, you know, in that kind of guide, what do I do next? That's one of the pieces of advice. Get in touch with your freaking congressman. They will advocate for you. And I've found that to be true for Jim Jordan, who's you know, my congressman here in Ohio. Although he's not really into Veterans Affairs, and we could talk about that later.
Right.
But I think he's a good guy. So, you know, fighting, trying to find an attorney and so forth. And then last year, I mentioned this before, the movie First Do No Farm, that got us connected up with a lady called Kim Witzak, who she fought. Her husband was killed by Xanax, I believe. It was either Xanax or Zoloft. And, you know, he was having a little anxiety. He was living the great life. It was just the two of them. They didn't have kids. He was a CEO of a company, you know, loved his wife, loved his life. He was just a little stressed out. I think he was working on a merger and some other stuff. And so he goes to his doctor. Doctor gives him a trial sample of whatever drug it was. And 2 weeks later, he hung himself. Mm. And Kim was out of town on business. You know, she gets a phone call. He's dead. She's like, what the hell are you talking about? Woody's dead.
So
he took
this, his life. Guy wasn't a veteran. He was just a regular civilian.
Correct. But Kim, they basically fucked with the wrong person. So she she doubled down, and she ended up on like the advisory board for the FDA. She oversaw and pushed for the black box warnings that got put on, and you know, antidepressants and antipsychotics, that, you know, about increased risk of suicide and other stuff. So she fought for that and got that put in place in 2003. Anyway, I contacted her. She got back to me. She's like, you need to talk to Tim Jensen at Grunstyle. He's fighting this fight, and he can help you. And so I looked up his email online, sent him a note, and it struck a chord. He was put on Wellbutrin by the Army, by the VA. So he knew, well, he didn't know it was called bupropion, you know, the generic term. So that surprised him. It was interesting. But then he's like, you got to talk to this guy, Derek. He's my lead man with the Grunstyle Foundation. Talk to Derek. You know, one thing led to another. Derek invited me to join them. So I'm volunteering with Grunstyle Foundation. They ended up, late last year, got me in touch with an attorney in San Diego. who interviewed me, you know, we talked through all the details, and he's like, okay, I'll take the case. And so we finally freaking got an attorney, and this guy's, he's fighting this fight specifically. So this is right in his sweet spot. He's helped a lot of other people. I know a mom whose son died. I don't know if I brought this up before, but it was, you know, a vet in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Same profile. He was born 10 months before my son. He died 5 months before my son. So he just turned 23. He was 22, got put on a psych med. He had a TBI. They didn't treat him for the TBI. It's. I mean, there are obviously differences. You know, he was a Marine, and it was a different drug, but it was the same profile.
Did he get hit with an IED or something?
He survived the gate attack in what's the Air Force, the former Air Force base in Afghanistan?
I can't remember.
I'm trying to blank on the name. But when the suicide bomber attacked the gate, and I think 13 servicemen died, he was right there. And so he got blasted. He got, you know, concussion, TBI, lost a bunch of friends, you know. So he was impacted by that. He had a lot of grief. And probably PTSD too, you know, and the TBI. So they didn't. What happened is, you know, he ended up shooting himself after, you know, being on the drug for like a week, and his mom got back channel information from the VA in Tuscaloosa that they fucked up. This person told her they dropped the ball. They did not do what they were supposed to do. They did not treat him correctly. And so she starts looking into it. She files a claim with the OIG, the VA Office of Inspector General. They do an investigation. Now, Tuscaloosa was under a lot of heat because there was shit going down there. There was a lot of, you know, malpractice crap happening. I think that's what caused the OIG to actually do something. But they did a report. They put the report. I can give you a copy of it. And it's scathing. It is absolutely scathing. They failed on so many fronts. And it mirrors my son's experience. You know, they failed to properly assess him for the TBI and treat the TBI. They didn't do that. They failed in the drug that they gave him was inappropriate for his age, for his condition. They failed to follow up with him at all. They just gave it to him and let him go. They failed to give him proper disclosure on what we call side effects. An interesting aside, as I tend to, you know, jump down these little rabbit trails. I saw a quote from a psychiatrist. He said, you know, we use the term side effect, but it's a euphemism because these aren't side effects. They're primary effects that are undesirable. And so the medical community calls them side effects to kind of quell your discomfort or your anxiety or, you know, your distaste with the sound of it. You know, suicide, oh, but it's a side effect. You know, it's very rare.
Yeah, it's like the commercials where there's a family on a picnic playing the guitar, you know, and they got the nice music, but then they're telling you all the side effects and possibly death. You know what I mean? Yeah. They try to sugarcoat it.
May cause extreme bleeding from the eyes and rectum. whatever. You know,
right.
It's just May. Yeah, and so, you know, the VA, just along those lines, you know, the VA's giving vets who are at risk already, right? You're a veteran, you're at risk, period. You know, but if you're a combat vet, if you, you know, saw shit, you got hit in the head or blasted, you know, you've got shit going down. And they're giving you drugs that have an unintended effect of suicidal ideation. You know, it's messed up. So the OIG report lists all this stuff out. They didn't do lethal means screening with him. They did not. And this kid's name was Hunter Whitley. And Hunter was talking to his mom. Man, there are so many parallels with my son. It's not even funny. They would have totally been friends if they'd known each other. You know, Hunter was into firearms. He built his own rifles, just like Connor. He had a stash of firearms, you know. And it's like if they had even asked.
Okay, that's the kid you sent me last night, right? Yeah.
That story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That story was done on him. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the Alabama, I forget the name of the university, but the paper there did a story on Hunter and included the online version includes Connor. The printed version doesn't because of the length of it.
Okay.
But the editor of the paper spent a lot of time talking to me about it. That's something that happened, you know, while I was down in Florida. So I went down to Florida four times since we talked last, drove down. So it's been kind of a shit show just dealing with my father-in-law, who's also an Army vet. But so the OIG report lists out all this stuff. Failed, you know. And then this kid walks out with a drug and then takes his life. And that's exactly what happened to my son. So I reached out to the OIG, made my case. I used Hunter's OIG report as a template for my complaint. And no, hold on a second.
All right. No, I'm going to take this opportunity to take a break here. We'll be right back.
Okay. All right.
Recording stopped.
All right. Yeah, so you said you heard some... You know, Brian, that was probably the feds.
No. So sorry. Yeah, I had a little technical glitch. A video started. It, with the new Apple OS, it shares... with my phone, you know, and it'll connect my phone and you can like interact with your phone on your laptop.
Okay.
And I started playing a video that pinged on my phone. It was really weird.
Anyway. Oh, okay.
So I reached out to the OIG. I used Hunter's report as a template and just said, you know, they failed to do this, blah, 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 right? All the same stuff. And didn't hear anything. And so I finally reached out to Jim Jordan's office since he's my local congressman and got in touch with their Veterans Affairs liaison and just told her what's up. You know, I'd like you to get in touch with the OIG, figure out what the hell's going on. And basically they were told, we're not doing an investigation, nothing out of the ordinary. So it's like, wait a minute. I've got this template of exactly what happened. It's like, you know, a document template that you've already created for the exact event that happened to my son. And you're telling, and you said it was, you know, total failure on these like six major points.
You mean for Whitley?
Yeah. So that exists, right? And it's all these failures, and I'm telling you did the exact same thing with my son, and there's nothing wrong? Okay, fuck you. You know?
Right.
And so really pissed me off. And anyway, so our attorney, we finally got the FTCA claim filed just a few weeks ago. But so that cruise missiles is launched at the VA, and you know they have like 6 months to respond. He put forth the story, you know, this is what happened to this young man, his parents are destroyed, you know, and we want compensation for it. So the way the process works is they look at the claim, they research it, and they get back to you with what they feel that they're going to do. They could say, pound sand, you're full of shit. They could say, okay, oops, our bad, we'll do whatever you want, you know, and they'll conform to your claim, or they'll try to barter you down, which is probably what's going to happen.
Right.
And he had warned me, he said, you know, in this process, it's going to come down to you having to pick a number for the value of your loved one, and it's not going to be fun. So I'm not looking forward to that, and if we can't come to an agreement, then it basically rolls, then we have to file a lawsuit. And that would be a federal lawsuit, so it goes to a federal court, so it's a single judge, there's no jury. We don't get, you know, a real trial, it's all...
That kind of sucks that you have to pick a number like that. So
yeah, exactly.
Do you already have something in your head? Like, mean, it sucks to even think about that, but... Like,
yeah, it's... If they were to agree to it, I would be satisfied, but it's still... It's 10% of what I really wanted.
Right.
You know, so we're kind of compromising out of the gate. Now they're going to probably try to compromise it even lower, probably 10% of what we're asking for.
Not only that, but since you've been on this mission, you haven't been working. And, right. You know what I mean? It's like that multiplies it by a lot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I can exactly... say that, you know, my employment status is related to this. Exactly. It is.
Right.
It certainly changed my state of mind, you know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And that's another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the, you know, in the spectrum of whatever this is universally that's going on with me, you know, the loss of my son, my job situation, all these little battles. I'm losing my dog right now too. Our blue heeler is dying. We think he's got prostate cancer. Actually, I've never heard that for dogs, but apparently that's what he's got, and he's gone downhill really, really fast.
Is he just dragging ass or what? I mean, like, is he getting around or what?
All he does anymore is he's limping. So he's got something going on with the left side of his body. The muscle mass has, you know, depleted considerably. He has trouble peeing and pooing, basically. And he spends half the day trying to, and the other half doing it in the house.
Oh, God.
And it's just, yeah, he's just pissing and shitting everywhere. And he can't control it. And he seems miserable. He can't be comfortable. We've given him an elevated, kind of like a trampoline bed, to help take some of the pressure off his body, and even that just doesn't seem to help him. And we tried giving him, you know, doggy pain meds. We put him on a I forget the name of the med. It's one of the alternative, you know, cancer treatment drugs that we picked up online, and that didn't seem to help. So whatever's going on, we can't afford. You know, we can't afford to have exploratory surgery done on our dog, unfortunately. So, yeah, we face the grim reality that he's going to have to go visit the doggy afterlife here in a couple weeks. So, it's just shitty. And then my father-in-law basically winding down in Florida. You know, all that's crap. But everything on the VA fight front is actually really, really positive. So what I've left out of this discussion so far is I was taken, Grunt Style Foundation took me to D.C. in January, and this is right. We went the week that Doug Collins had his final hearing for VA secretary. So we got to sit in that hearing. It was actually in the front row. I could have leaned over the baluster and touched his back, you know. Really cool. We ended up getting on TV. You know, big lame claim to fame there. But in the process of that, you know, we got to talk to a lot of the senators on that hearing, on that board. So, you know, Marcus Luttrell was in there. Tammy Duckworth. This has to be a bipartisan effort. It has to be. You know, so as much as it kind of rankles my bile to glad hand with guys like Dick Blumenthal, who has, you know, stolen valor in his history, he is, for what it's worth, he is fighting the fight. He is one of the few senators that actually does get shit done for veterans. So, you know, as much as I don't like it, as much as I don't like him personally as a human being, as a senator, he's at least doing something, you know? So
yeah.
You take those opportunities. That's just part of politics that I hate. But you take those opportunities when you get them, you know? And so I was able to talk to Blumenthal, tell him Connor's story. I was standing right there in the chambers. Was able to talk to Doug Collins. Got, you know, pictures with all these guys. We talked to Tammy Duckworth. We talked, you know, she's a badass, dude. I don't know if you know anything about her.
No, where's she out of?
I want to say Michigan.
Okay.
I could be wrong. It might be Minnesota. She was a freaking Black Hawk pilot and got shot down and is disabled. She can't walk, so she's in a wheelchair.
Where was that when she got shot down?
I over in the global war on terror.
Okay.
I don't know if it was Iraq or
Middle East
or Fallujah or don't know. It was Middle East, yeah. Yeah, no, she's a fighter too, and a Democrat. So, you know, props to the people that are actually fighting. I'd probably disagree with, you know, 60% or more of their policies. But in this case, like with Jordan, I like I like him. Veterans affairs are not his thing. So that's kind of the problem with our representatives is they focus on a specific set of social issues or whatever. Like Josh Williams, been trying to get in touch with him. His fight is like DEI, right?
Right.
Everything he's doing right now is DEI. He's trying to smash it down. You know, God bless him.
Yeah.
But Veterans Affairs does not appear to be his thing. Now there is a lot of stuff like you.
Well, I told you I talked to him and he was basically telling me that it's a federal. You know, he doesn't feel like he has any power because it's at that level.
I don't think it's not true. I think he's got a misconception about it. I'm not going to say he's lying. I don't think he's lying. I think he just doesn't understand the power that he does have at the state level. So there's a lot of stuff that can be done at the state level. For instance, since we're talking about it, Hunter Whitley, the veteran in Tuscaloosa, his mom, she's fighting hard too. And she just got a bill passed in Alabama.
Is that where they're out of, Alabama?
That's Hunter. Hunter Whitley. So, yeah, he and his mom are down there. He was in Tuscaloosa. Same thing, too. He was going to college, you know, student veteran, et cetera. But his mom is fighting really, really hard. She got a bill passed. The governor signed it to allow vets that are having suicidal thoughts to check their firearms in to a neutral location for storage, for safe storage, until they're capable to take them back. And there's no red flagging, nothing. It's an open door to, you know, and in the case of Connor and Hunter, the onset of the suicidality was so fast and nobody saw it coming, even them. I'm convinced of that they didn't know what the hell was going on. They didn't know it was the drug. The drug convinced them that their life was shit and just, you know, drove them to despair. I've said this before. It tortured them to death. So how the fuck are you
talking about less than a week, right? I mean,
right. Yeah. 8 days. Well, one day, a week plus one.
I mean, if it happened in 8 days, it probably started half of that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I was looking at the timeline of my son's death. And his first day on that drug, he freaked out. And he called his mom. He's like, I forgot Dad's birthday. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and he was super agitated. That was the first fucking day on the pill, April 5th. And he hadn't missed my birthday. He had it wrong in his calendar, which is really weird. But so there was there were signs, but we had no idea he was on the medication. That's another failure. You know, they claim HIPAA laws prevent them from contacting family and stuff. That's bullshit. There are provisions in HIPAA that say if it's a matter basically of public safety or life and death, they can contact. They could have contacted his roommate. They could have contacted us and just said, here are the risks. Keep your eyes peeled. You know, if you see something, say something kind of thing.
Right.
But they didn't. They don't. Because they don't give a shit. You know, that's the bottom line. Is that this is turned into VA protects itself.
Of course.
Collins has a lot of work to do. You know, it's a machine that now are there good doctors in the VA? Absolutely. You know, there are doctors that care, there are nurses that care. Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of good people. It's the leadership. The leadership has been dog shit.
It's the system. You know what I mean?
It protects itself.
I'm not saying it's not just the VA, it's the medical machine, you know, the Rockefeller industrial complex, medical, insurance, all of it.
You're not wrong. Yeah, but here's the thing. The VA community, the veteran community is an amplified view of what's happening to the general population.
And
it's focused. The VA is focused on vets, right? So everything they do has a very measurable and observable impact. So for the last 20 years, as we've observed them dump, here's a stat for you. $13.5 billion was put into veteran suicide prevention since 2016. And what has happened? Nothing positive. It's all negative. It's all increased in rates. It's a non-linear curve. If you look at the suicide rates coming from 2021 or 2001, you hit about 2016 and it just skyrockets. And so you're like, okay, what the hell are you spending the money on? And it's probably the drugs.
Yeah.
So they're doubled down on this theory. And to your point, it's the same theory that's being used in the general population. You know, you basically screen somebody, you ask them a few questions, you come to a determination that they've got some kind of a mental disorder. That's how they classify it. You know, you've got depressive disorder or major depressive disorder or whatever. You need to take a drug. It's paint by numbers. You know, put he's an A, color that red. You know, he's a B, color it green. So it's Zoloft. It could be an SSRI. It could be, you know, it used to be they would use benzodiazepines a lot, you know, like Valium. But anyway, so I want to get back because I noticed I re-listened to a couple podcasts, the other two podcasts. I go down these trails and I never get back to where I started, which is
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, man. I could talk about this for hours. I sat with the vet a couple days ago. It was supposed to be like an hour-long meeting. We talked for 4 hours because it's like it spurned ideas for him, you know. And he had this. This is a guy that's fighting for vets. He's an Army Ranger, or sorry, Airborne.
That's the guy you sent me a clip of him.
Yeah.
Forget his name.
I'll just be honest. Yeah, I want to be a little guarded just about sharing too much because I don't want to get people that are helping in trouble for some reason. If, you know, they get swept up into some category where they call us extremists or something. I don't know. But anyway, so where was I? So we went to D.C., did some glad handing, went to, like, chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Mike Bost, went to his office, sat with him and talked, told him Connor's story one-on-one, you know, gave him a Grunt Style Foundation, No More Dead Friends shirt. You know, we popped into Jim Jordan's office and his staff. I mean, all these staffers are like 22, 23. It's crazy. You know, really young folks, super, super professional, you know, but they're like, he doesn't take drop-ins, pound sand, leave us your name and number. We'll call you back, you know, type of thing. And we're standing there in the lobby and Jordan walks through the door and Derek with Grunt Style Foundation just jumps on him. Hey, you know, Congressman. Congressman Jordan, this guy right here lost his son. The vet, and Jordan just, his eyes got big. He's like, come with me. And he just dragged us into his office. And like his executive staff person just, her jaw dropped. Like, you fuckers. I just told you to get out of here. Now you're talking to him.
I wouldn't know if I'd recognize him if I seen him.
You would. You would. Yeah. He's pretty athletic. He's little. You know, I mean, I'm 6'5", so he's like 5'6", maybe. He's like a little, but he's built like an athlete. He was
probably a wrestler.
Probably. Yeah, that's what it looks like. No shit. Yeah, and he stays in shape too. But and he listened. He sat with us. I told the story. We expressed to him, you know, what the problem is and what we're trying to solve. He said he would do whatever he can, you know. I mean, that's what every politician says. But anyway, we gave him a shirt, blah blah blah, took pictures. But it was an extremely productive event. The night before was the Disabled American Veterans Medal of Honor honoree banquet, I guess you would call it. It's not really a banquet. But there I got to meet, like, the heads of all of the veteran service organizations that showed up. DAV, American Legion, and on and on, better, you know, VFW, and talked to the leads of those organizations and told the story. And the VSOs right now, dude, they are pretty much, with the exception of a couple little things like alternative medication modalities, as it's being called, which would be anything from cannabis to a psilocybin or toad venom or whatever, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of methods out there that people are treating PTSD with that are effective that the VA will not, you know, they won't touch. Even hyperbaric chamber
ketamine, know, all that shit.
Exactly, exactly. Anything that's not in the Pfizer, you know, catalog, they basically won't touch it. So some of the VSOs are not, they don't want to go down that path quite yet. but there are some that have totally signed on and they're like, fuck it. What, you know, my wife says, if they had given my son marijuana, he'd still be alive.
Right.
You can't argue with that. Right. It's like, so what the hell? Why aren't we trying these things? What, you know, why do we have to go? Why do we have to do what Pfizer says when we know they're full of shit? So anyway, well,
they've been pushing that petroleum based shit for 100 years, man. Right. A couple hundred years.
Yep. Yep. And, yeah. And so, you know, Kennedy's fighting it and didn't get to meet with him, but we were there with a guy. And again, I'm going to be cagey on names, but he has a direct connection to RFK Jr. And one of the things we're pushing hard first is called signatory informed consent. And that is to force them. It's already federal law. And this is the thing that really pisses me off, because it's like, it's already law and they're not doing it. What is passing another bill going to do? You know, it's like all these so-called common sense gun reforms. You know, there's already enough laws on the books. Fucking enforce the laws that are there.
Fucking bust politics.
Criminals, you know, stop. Yeah. Stop going after law-abiding citizens, right? So the signatory informed consent bill would force, and it would be like a, it would be a federal violation if they didn't follow it. So hopefully it would have some teeth, you know, and it's not left up to the states to determine. It has to be done. Again, and it's already law. So, but it just says they have to sit down with you and be honest and open about all of these unintended effects of the drug that they're proposing to put you on, you know. And the VA's position right now is that if it's dangerous to do that, it's dangerous, Fox, to tell you that the SSRI might cause you permanent sexual dysfunction. It's dangerous because then you might decide not to take it.
That's what always confused me. It's like they're putting guys, not just the VA, they're putting guys on depression medicine, and it's making them not be able to have sex. Like, wouldn't that make you more depressed?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it's not temporary. And it's just, you know, what I've heard it described as is just numbness, complete numbness in your sexual organs.
Wow.
You know, so it's like you can't get an erection, you can't feel it, and it's permanent. That's right. Fucked up.
Talk about depression, right? Shit.
So yeah, so their stance has been, if we tell you that, you won't take the drug, therefore it's dangerous because you should take the drug. That's their whole, they're just pushing the drugs, right? We talked about this before. What, you know, pharma's behind this 100%. So that's that signatory informed consent is the first kind of volley. There's another bill that's been sitting out languishing in committees for 10 years, H.R. 136, and it is designed to force the VA to give up information surrounding suicides. So how long were they being seen by the VA? What, you know, what medications were they given? What therapies or treatments? All that stuff. Because right now, they're not giving up anything. And they've been subpoenaed two or three times in the last 5 years, and they just basically give a middle finger to Congress. So, you know, it's like they are so confident in their power that they just abuse the shit out of it, even with Congress. So
that's a problem all the way around. I mean, with so many things.
It is. So yeah, this is a hydra, man. It is a multi-headed beast for sure. So having the VSOs behind this, it helps a whole lot. You know, having the general populace aware of what's going on and concerned about it. And the point, you know, you kind of brought up that it's not just the veterans. You're 100% right. Again, you know, the veteran community is a focal point, literally through a lens, because of the fact that the VA only serves the veteran community. You know, so everything that they do impacts the veterans. So we can see it happening. It's like having an ant farm, you know. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. You know, we've got a lens, we got a viewport what we're lacking is data, though. We're lacking all this, you know, like the questions I was asking when Connor died, and we found out that the drug was the most likely culprit, you know, and I started thinking, well, okay, how many suicides resulted from them giving him a drug? You know, we can't answer that question. So HR 136 is designed to kick that door down.
And I'm so glad that you, so many people would have just not dug into it the way you did. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I mean,
I'm fueled by anger and caffeine.
Speaking of caffeine, I've got to take another break here. I'll be right back.
All right, me too.
Recording stopped.
All right.
Recording in progress.
All right, we're back. Sorry about that.
I'm warm. Yeah. So there's a lot going on, you know, and like I said, it's a hydra. There's so many heads to it, you know, and right now, since we kind of have the federal front going, right, we got the bill that's in, there's a second bill, and I don't know the number of it. It's not a bill. It's a whatever. I forgot. I flunked Schoolhouse Rock. whatever it is, it goes into the committees, right? And so, like HVAC, House Veterans Affairs Committee, has a bunch of subcommittees, and so depending on what, you know, what the proposed law is, it'll go into those committees. Like if it's health related or if it's technology related, so that they get branched out. Anyway. So there's 136 is sitting there. There's another one that's the alternative modalities bill that will, you know, basically force the VA to shut the fuck up and let veterans do what they think is best for themselves, you know. And that's I spoke to the director of legislative affairs for American Legion. And she said, and I I guess that cat's out of the bag. I wasn't sure if I should say that or not, but their opinion is the VA is not equipped to handle mental health care. They've proven it, right? Decade after decade, they just, this is something they screw up entirely, right? So it just shouldn't be in there. It shouldn't be in their charter. It should not be something they're doing. It should not be something they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's kind of common knowledge, right? In a way.
In a way, exactly.
I mean, most of the homeless people, I wouldn't say most, but there's so many homeless veterans, and it's like if there was such a system in place, why is that a thing? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Why aren't, and, you know, I've been focused on suicide. But what I've come to realize is there are many parallel paths. You know, suicide is just one potential outcome. Violence is one potential outcome. You know, murder, mass murder are potential outcomes. And I would bet, and I have nothing to back this up but my gut, that a lot of the veterans that are sitting in prison are perpetrators of some kind of a violent event, right? Whether it was spousal abuse or, you know, beat somebody up at a bar and got thrown in prison, I'm going to bet there's a drug in the chain of events, you know, that's not illicit. That was something that was given to them by the VA. And, you know, I've also had to think about this from a terms of like school shooters. I believe that this is directly related to psych meds,
you know, absolutely. How many of them do you know that weren't on SSRIs?
I don't know of any that weren't. I don't
exactly
know any, exactly. And it if you look, the data's out there. Even like Mother Jones has, you know, mass shooting data that's taken from the FBI. But the FBI data set on mass murders, violent crimes, right? You look at the timeline. In 1982, they were basically non-existent. There were no school shootings, right? The first one was like 1982. It was called the welding shop shooting, where a guy came into school and shot his welding teacher. And then it just goes. It just starts going up. And
you know what's weird about that, Brian? Before school shooters, it was serial killers.
serial killers and post office employees, right? Right. Going postal. That was the thing. Yeah. It was like, it was the postal workers would just, like, whatever, run a belt off the pulley and go shoot some.
It just goes from one thing to the other.
It coincides with SSRIs, period.
Yeah, and I agree.
You look at the prescription rates, you look at suicide rates, or the mass murder, and suicides too, and they just track. And, the left and the deniers like to say, correlation is not causation, but it is a very, very strong correlation. And there's nothing, you can't blame it on diet, you can't blame it on, the food dye in your Fruit Loops. You can't deny. You can't blame it on beer. You can't blame it on pot. You can't blame it on social changes. I mean, this is consistently changed from George Bush Senior through to Trump. And it's just skyrocketing, and it's like 26% year over year increase, and the veteran community is going down. So you would expect, if the pool size changed, you would expect a dip, but it's not. It's increasing, and it's the 18 to 34 year old age group. So the whole GWAT crew, the Operation Enduring Freedom, Global War on Terror, these are the vets that are getting hit the hardest, and it is fucked up. It is just fucked up. So the fact that drugs are off the table as a discussion point is absolutely unacceptable, and so there's stuff that can be done at the state level, and I was starting to mention that, that Hunter Whitley's mom got that bill passed. So there is stuff that Josh Williams can do. And
yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, what would you recommend? Because I'm going to hit him up about this.
That's one of the things. Now, that law was tailored to Alabama's issues. Alabama may have had restrictive, mandatory red flagging and stuff like that. I don't know. That's part of the problem is I'm a political idiot. I can look at numbers and I can figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Looking at data, but I don't know the political situation. I don't understand, what is it in Ohio that is bad for veterans? And just that shit needs to change. Why is this group of people that served our country honorably? And this is the thing. I started to go down the path about, guys sitting in prison. So the fucked up thing is, especially fucked up, right? This is like second tier, third tier fucked up. You're sitting in prison because you punched a dude at a bar, because you lost your shit, because you were on an SSRI, and it manifested itself in you losing your ability to stop yourself from acting out on your impulses. That's really what it does, is it numbs your impulse control. So you're sitting in prison with a felony, let's say you beat the guy to death, and it's caused by the drug. You're basically, as a felon, you lose all your VA benefits. You're probably safer sitting in prison than you are out on the street as a VA patient.
Oh yeah, you're being taken care of.
Exactly. And this was talking to that vet a couple days ago, this is the kind of stuff we were talking about. There are also parallels in the professional sports area too. A lot of like NFL players that have gotten head injuries and they're put on these things. And then what do? They beat the shit out of their wife. They beat the shit out of another player. They go have a bar fight, right? They kill somebody in Vegas. They drive their car 100 miles an hour down Vegas Strip and kill a mom and her baby. That dude was on, antidepressants. And now he's sitting in prison with a life sentence for something that the VA effectively caused him to do. Just like I would say they killed my son. They caused this guy to kill that. There's a complete break in the chain of accountability because pharma's involved.
Yeah.
And that, it is a fact. So you can call it a conspiracy theory, but it's not. It is absolute fact. So that shit has to change. And so kind of like the cherry on all the things that are going really well in my fight is I got to speak to a Wall Street Journal reporter yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, I'm fucking pumped.
When's that coming out?
don't know. So they released a story on benzodiazepines a couple weeks ago. I think it's called the Xanax generation. And now they're working on an antidepressant story. And I came right out and I told her, I said, look, I'm shocked you're able to do this. You know, I'm shocked right. this is not being squashed.
Right.
And she said, no, we're telling the story. They don't affect us. I'm like, okay.
Who's no, they?
That's not what Cheryl Atkinson said.
Right. Who's that? Who's she saying they?
The Wall Street Journal handlers, her.
But it's not story. Out yet, so.
The benzodiazepine story is.
Is it? And it okay. Is,
yeah. Yep, I can send you the link. They have a paywall, but if you don't know, there's a website called 12foot.io.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of geeky, but if you put in HTTP, you know, blah, 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 12ft, 12foot.io/, and then just paste the URL of a story that's got a paywall, it most likely can get around the paywall.
Okay.
It's kind of handy. but it's, a lot of the Wall Street Journal stories online are paywall protected, and this thing will help you get around it. But they did that story. They're working on the antidepressant story, and she said she really likes to tell the individual stories too when that data is available, and now she's got the data available. So she's talking to Hunter Whitley's mom. She's talked to us. She's talking to other vets that have been, you know, impacted by overprescription. And that's one of the other arms of the fight. So there's the signatory informed consent. Then there's the whole issue of just veteran harm through overprescription. And that fight is happening. And that's where the VSOs are really getting on board. And they are sick. And, you know, when I walked around that Medal of Honor honoree banquet and talked to all these people, I mean, the room goes silent around you. There's just a vacuum of noise. It goes away. And I had, you know, Disabled American Vets and American Legion and VFW leadership sitting there listening. And I'm telling the story, and they're just like, we need to talk to you. You know, we need to understand what's happening. This has got to stop, you know. And I'm like, dude, this is just one kid. You know, one kid.
Right.
They say 22 a day. A lot of vets commit suicide, you know, and the detractors like to say it's 17, you know, so they're going to nitpick about, you know, three deaths. But the reality is it's more like 65 because they don't count, I think I've mentioned this before, they don't count falls from a great height. They don't count drug overdose. They don't count single car accidents, like a dude, you know, drives his car into a wall or oncoming traffic or something. He's by himself in his car. You know, they don't count that as suicide.
It reminds me of during COVID.
Yeah,
you know exactly. How exactly. Someone would die in a motorcycle accident, but he had COVID. He didn't pass his swab, so they would classify that as a COVID death, and then the hospital would get reimbursed for it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Follow the money, right?
Yeah.
And it, I think they do that as it's just kind of a hedge of protection, right? It lowers the number, gives them a little bit. Because if it were 65 a day and you started doing the math and publishing that, you know, people would lose their absolute shit. I don't understand. It shouldn't be one a day. You know,
right.
It should be zero. And this brings up another point that's really hard for me to kind of say out loud. The deaths, the violence, the murders that are caused by the drugs, I consider to be synthetic. And what I mean by that is there are vets out there. I'm preaching to the choir. I know that are genuinely struggling with authentic PSD, with authentic mental health issues, and they're taking their lives. And those are the I'm calling those the organic deaths. And those are the vets that are being failed the worst. And the problem is the overwhelming number of synthetic deaths that are caused by the fucking VA themselves is overshadowing the actual struggle that's out there that needs to be addressed. And so it's an easy it's a relatively easy fix to stop the synthetic deaths, right? If they would do one of five things with any veteran that they're talking about or thinking about putting them on a drug, and it includes, you know, informed consent, following up with them, lethal means assessment, et cetera, if they do any one of these simple things, they would probably drop the suicide rate by at least 25% immediately. You know, if they stopped prescribing the drugs at all, it would also have a positive impact. But, you know, that's a bridge too far for a lot of people. So we have to do this, you know, a phased approach, prove that the drugs are causing the problem. And it's so, like I said, it's a magnifying glass. It's so simple to prove. And it would react, the reaction and the effect would be so immediate, it'd be undeniable, and they won't do it. You know, right. And why? And that's why we got to fight this. We got to fight it in court. We got to fight it at the legislative action. It takes people doing, you know, I'm not going to say I'm the model, but, you know, doing what I got to do, I consider it a privilege of going to D.C., walking through the halls of our representatives and looking at doors and just saying, okay, and even if you're not, if I'm not your constituent, you still need to be working on this, right? We need to pressure these senators and representatives to get on board and back these bills. What skin off their nose is it to sign up and just say, this is a worthy cause. I'm gonna back forcing the VA to give this information out so that we, because it's the first step, right? Getting the data to do the analysis to be able to, I can't say prove, but to demonstrate that the symptoms, the data point to the drugs, you know? So anyway, this really weighs on me, this idea of synthetic versus organic, you know? And it's like when a woman falsely accuses a guy of rape. You've just completely destroyed the impact of real rape.
Right.
You know? And how important that subject is because you lied. And that's kind of what this is. It's kind of like a lie. You're lying to the veteran that they have a problem that needs this drug. You're giving them a drug that's causing them to do self-harm or harm somebody else. And then what happens? You know, there's no accountability. Who's losing their job because of this? Nobody.
Right.
And
it kind of, I don't want to get religious here, but it, when you talk about truth, I mean, like you said, if you lie about it, it takes away the impact of a rape, or you could talk about police brutality.
Right.
All these protests and shit like that. The truth is so powerful, and it's funny how it comes down to all those type of issues, and it's always somebody bullshitting. You know what I mean?
They're protecting something.
Yeah, it's an agenda.
Jobs. They're protecting their phony baloney jobs.
Yeah,
as I like to say, you know, and it's or their income or whatever it is. You know, Nancy Pelosi wants to be able to invest more, so
their position.
The corruption.
Yeah,
the corruption that points to pharma is absolutely ridiculous, and you can watch it in real time. As they attack RFK Jr., you know, like 22 Democrats signed a letter and sent it to Kennedy and said, basically, your stance on antidepressants is dangerous and you need to knock it off. And so I'm calling them out, you know, and I'm just going, I'm nobody, right? I don't have sway. I don't have power, but I figure even if there's just a few people out there that see something I post, like my wife's aunt actually is really totally anti-pharma. She's out in California. Yeah. And she'll see some of the stuff I post and she'll repost it. And that has an effect, you know, if right. I can just get one repost. And so I'm calling out those 22 freaking lawmakers. You are betraying the veteran community, period.
Shame and some of those guys, some of them probably have a paper trail of like donors from pharma, maybe some of them don't. But it also happens behind closed doors a lot.
It does, and it happens like a money laundering scheme, right. Quite literally. You know, when RFK Jr. was calling out Bernie Sanders during the hearings, and he's saying, you know, your pharma was your number one donor. And he's like, no, I didn't take any direct money from pharma. I mean, he actually said it. He said the quiet part out loud. And he gave you a key to deciphering what he's saying. Yeah, you're right. It came through a secondary source, or it came through a tertiary source, you know. Yeah, well, you're right.
It's like the whole USAID shit that just came out, right? Look at all that bullshit.
Just
so fucking
laundering scheme.
Yeah.
And they set up the CIA. You know, it's got CIA written all over it. You know, set up a shell corporation, create a boundary. You got plausible deniability. Anything happens, you don't know anything about it, you know, but yet you're sending them checks through a distributor. You know, it's like it's like a drug cartel. It's just money.
Yeah, exactly.
Money, power, and influence, right? It's the trifecta of mankind's downfall. This is what, you know, has taken Napoleon down, Rome down, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we haven't learned a damn thing as human beings. We just keep doing the same shit over and over again. But anyway,
it's funny, in the U.S., they call it the intelligence agencies, and then in England, it's MI6, Israel's the Mossad, in Mexico, it's called the cartel, right?
That is funny and true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, what comes to the Wall Street Journal article, I'll definitely share that with you. And she had made a comment that she likes to tell individual stories when she has the information. Uh-huh. So there's a chance that she may do a focused story just on my son. And that, you know, I tear up just thinking about that. That, you know, my employment status kind of leads to my ability to do a lot of stuff that I normally wouldn't be able to do. You know, like I told Grunstow Foundation, I am mobile and available. You know, it's not the situation I want to be in, but I am.
Right. So, when's the last time you went somewhere with them guys?
That would have been January.
Okay.
And that kind of leads, good segue, that leads to like the next doings. So in June is going to be a very, very highly publicized, visible event that Grunstow Foundation is putting on in D.C. There's going to be a big press conference. This is all about veteran harm, overprescription as a focus. That is going to be fueled in part by, and this is where, you know, the conspiracy soldier army here can do some good and help me out. Memorial Day, the entire Grunstyle site, so the clothing line, all the proceeds, everything sold is going to go to our project. So it's going to go to what they call the War Cry for Change. There's a lot of controversy about that name. But it is what it is. So War Cry for Change, the Veteran Harm Project, which is what I'm working on, the funding to try to do events like this DC event are going to be funded by that. So anything if you ever wanted a Grunstyle shirt, wait till Memorial Day. The whole site will be just all the artwork's going to change. It's all going to, you know, point directly to this project. And I'm telling you, man, these guys are lean. There's no money, you know, and we're constantly struggling with what can we do, what can we afford, and so this is going to help us out tremendously. Tim Jensen's attitude about it is be damned the consequences kind of thing. He's like, no, we're doing this event, we're going to spend the money, we'll figure out how to pay for it. And so he is dedicated. He's the president of Grunstyle Foundation. He is like the one of the heads of Grunstyle, so he's got a foot in both camps, but we are lean, you know. And I'm what I mean by that is like understaffed and underfunded.
Do you have like a link you could send me on my for that?
It's just Grunstyle.com.
Okay,
that'll be Memorial Day. Yeah, they'll like I said, all the artwork, it's gonna be completely transparent. You know, all the sales are gonna go to Grunstyle Foundation, War Cry for Change. So that's a huge thing, because, you know, what we need are benefactors. We need some wealthy billionaires that, you know, have a few million to spare If they could do that, I'd have a full-time job. You know, they would hire me, but they can't afford what I need. So anyway, that's coming up. And it's gonna, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. So big press conference. There's going to be meetings on Capitol Hill, actually in the Capitol, in the visitor center with lawmakers to discuss this issue.
You're saying that's happening. Memorial Day in D.C.?
No. No.
I was going to say, I'm surprised they're working.
No, no. Yeah, this is in June. And I don't know the date yet. It hasn't been completely solidified, but it's gonna,
okay.
It's like a two-day event. It's like June 18th or something. But yeah, big press conference, meeting on Capitol, in the Capitol building with lawmakers. Then Tim Jensen has commissioned... there's some stuff I probably shouldn't say because it's kind of secret, but I'll just say he's commissioned a piece of art that is going to be installed in D.C. that day or that week, and there's going to be an event around that. There's going to be a march. It has to do with drugs, prescription drugs, and it's going to be very symbolic where veterans are going to basically toss their empty pill bottles or full pill bottles into this artwork. It's going to be very dramatic. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, something to pull on heartstrings a little bit and make a statement. Because it is, and it's basically the VA is killing veterans. It is the statement, and with the drugs. And then the second day is going to be kind of round tables with the VSOs to solidify relationships and make sure everybody that's working on this is aware of, you know, of each other and what's going on and unifying. So it's going to be a very powerful couple of days. And that, like I said, that's coming up in June. In the meantime, there's just a lot of other stuff going on. Unfortunately, we keep getting connected with survivors, you know, family members, mothers who lost their kid, you know, same way I did. And that never gets easy. And it's, I'll tell you, man, one of the first projects I had with Grunt Style Foundation was writing the story, kind of telling Connor's life and then what happened to him. And that story is still in review because everybody that works on it just gets emotionally wrecked. And I even got to a point where it's like, I can't edit this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. You know, I even took it and I pumped it through AI and just said, you know, hey, summarize this, keep it emotional, keep it directed, give me something. And it whittled it way, because it was like 18 pages. You can't publish that shit. So we got it down to like 6 pages. But
that's crazy. You used AI to do that?
I did. Yeah.
It is useful for some things, right?
It's unemotional.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. Is the, like I said, it literally is just wrecking everybody that touches it. It's like the Tesseract. You don't want to touch it. So, you know, that's really, really tough. Hunter Whitley's story is in editing. You know, Connor's story is in editing. These other parents that have come on board. It's such a deeply emotional thing that it's really hard for people to do. I thought I was kind of immune to it, and I'm not. You know, it did wear me down. And that's part of our fight with the VA is, you motherfuckers, you know, I cry every day, dude. Every fucking day. Something happens. I mean, I surround myself with memories of my son. You know, I'm wearing his watch. And it's, I can't imagine trying to disconnect my feelings for what happened. It's like I said, I'm fueled by anger and caffeine. It's the anger that this is going on, that this happens every fucking day, and nothing's being done about it. It's absolutely unacceptable. So it is my mission, and I've just got to put it on God. You know, I'll get a job when I need a job.
Right.
Funds are, you know, I'm on E. I'm on fumes right now, to be perfectly honest, and it's very stressful. And you know, my wife's talking about getting a job, which she hasn't had to do in 27 years. So yeah, it's not fun, but it's got to be done. So, and somebody's got to do it, and I'm available. So fuck it. it's my job. And, you know, I'm so grateful to guys like you, you know, military members that have served. And, you know, there are dirtbags out there. There are people that kill, you know, that are murderers at heart, that do this shit because they're just scumbags, you know. And that's such a low percentage, I believe, of the percentage of, you know, genuine good people who are just in a bad place, who trusted the VA and got shafted, you know, and they got shafted with the drug or whatever, or, you know, complete neglect. And ended up on a path that they never expected, you know, but they're languishing. And so the vet I was talking to, his big push, he's a PhD candidate right now. Dude is fucking smart, man. He's a Tillman scholar. He works more in social work. It's kind of his focus. And so he's trying to build up programs to help veterans transition back to civilian life. And that includes visiting vets that are incarcerated, and he's trying to understand how they get there. You know, and if it was a drug, he's collecting that information too. It's like, were you given an antidepressant or an antipsychotic? And I guarantee you the answer is probably going to be yes.
Yeah.
I would guess in almost like 80 plus percent.
I mean, to be honest, I'd like to know the percentage on that, but...
Mm-hmm.
I came so close to, I was facing 2 to 8 years in prison. And now it did involve alcohol. Okay. But it didn't, I'm just saying I could have been one of those. I could have been included in that number, but
sure.
You know, but,
and it may not be direct. You know, we don't have to divulge details, you know, right. May not be specifically related to an ant, like, you know, one of these meds.
I'm sure it is a high percentage, though.
But it still has to do with complete neglect of your needs. You know, how you get help when you're feeling that way, and not feel like you're going to be targeted for something. Like there's a vet out there. His name's Steve Mannon. I met him on LinkedIn, and he is a one man freaking wrecking crew right now with the VA, and he was red flagged as a behavioral risk, and shit happened to him. Like, he would show up at the VA to get care, they would call the cops on him and get him arrested.
Holy
just
shit.
For showing up at the hospital. And he's like, what the fuck did I do? And it turned out he shared a name with a violent felon, and it was not him. And he, you know, and he got red flagged because of it. And he's like, what? How does this happen? You know, who's controlling this data? And he starts to find out that there are databases, secret databases that are kept by the VA that contain data about vets that they are not supposed, they are legally disallowed to have.
Jesus
and so they've got
Christ.
These systems. And he's discovered this all through FOIA requests. And so he's fighting what they call pro se.
So they would have him arrested for trespassing or what?
No, as a violent risk to the caregivers.
Wow.
So their claim was
that is amazing.
He came in, he would hurt somebody that worked there. And the police would show up and arrest him. Or he'd get, one time, I think this is him, he got basically captured at the hospital and locked in a padded cell and injected with, you know, depressants and stuff. And
they kept him shit.
Against his will for like a week. And this happened to a couple of vets that ended up killing themselves because of it. It was like,
oh my God.
I'm fucked. My life is over. You know, I can't get help at the VA, blah, blah, blah. You know, every time I show up, they do something. And one guy.
Are you in contact with that dude?
Yeah.
I want to talk to that guy. I'm going to have him on.
Okay. Steve Mannon. Yeah, he was an EOD guy. And apparently, according to his research, if you were EOD, you are on their lists already. They determined that for whatever reason, the ordnance disposal guys are the most, this is the VA's perspective, are the most prepossessed to violence. So they took it upon themselves to protect their organization by red flagging those guys preemptively. And so if you show up, You've already they basically trash can your reviews of like quality of service and stuff like that. You've gotten a voice, you know, and that was one of his first things. He's like, I'm trying to bring light to the fact that I'm being treated like shit by the VA, but they won't take my reviews. I guess there's a quality of care type of mechanism that you can use, you know, when you visit a VA facility, and they just shit can that stuff. They don't look at it. They don't publish it. And so his first thing that I saw was he was saying how the VA puts out a report about satisfaction in the vet community, and all those numbers are super artificially inflated because they just throw out a ton of the negative stuff. So, yeah, it's an organism that protects itself. But, yeah, Steve is a wild cat.
Yeah.
He's got some balls. And he's fighting them on his own, as you know, he's acting as his own attorney, and he's filing FOIA requests, and he's publishing this stuff on LinkedIn every day, telling stories about, you know, here's proof that I'm not making this shit up. Here's, you know, evidence, and I got this through FOIA, and you know, the VA's got like 24 databases that they keep that's got negative information that they're forbidden by law to have, and there's evidence that it's basically considered to be restricted data, and there are people that have access to it that should never have access to it. And so he's got query data, timestamp query data with user IDs that did not have authority to look at the veteran data. And people are like a nurse is just going in and pulling up your psych history. She has no business looking at it, and that data is available to them. So it's just yet another battle, right? This, the Hydra, the multi-headed dragon. Steve's fighting a good fight. He's got a lot on his hands, you know. VSOs are fighting. Save a Warrior. They are in this battle.
I like to call it spiritual warfare. You got all these dishonest motherfuckers doing all this bullshit, and then you got people that are just trying to have justice and do the right thing. It's a constant battle, man. You know
it is, and the real problem is that the people, the dishonest people, are the ones with power,
right?
And they're
and it's always like that.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the veterans are definitely behind the eight ball, and just know, man, shit's coming down. Shit is coming down really fast and really hard. And Doug Collins, bless him, I think he's a good man. I think he's going to work for change. He's got to do something. And, you know, Tim Jensen keeps calling him out, press releases. You know, Secretary Collins, you know, he looks at his watch, you know, it's been 3 months since you got appointed. What's happening? What are you doing? Why isn't this stopping? 22 vets a day are dying. You know, we know that number's higher, but, you know, it's like the border wall, you know, people that were backing Trump were so pissed off about the border wall because that was such a huge campaign issue, you know, and it just languished and languished and languished 3 years before anything substantial really happened with it. You know, so there were a lot of people that were loyal to Trump that still called us bullshit. And that's happening now, you know, and the same is true with Doug Collins. It's like, dude, you're not getting a free ride because we like you, because you're, you know, he's a freaking chaplain. You know, the guy's active duty chaplain, really respectable. His entire family was at his hearing, grandkids included. And my first thought was, how the hell do you get that? How do you get everybody's schedule in such a way that, you know, your kids and their children can show up to this event, which is just a circus, you know.
Yeah.
His entire family there, and that impressed the hell out of me. You know, having been in a band, I know how hard it is to get four guys together and synchronize schedules to get something done. You know, much less 12 people. And so that was.
You've been impressive. Doing any of that music
playing?
Yeah.
Dude, I have not touched my guitar.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to say in months, but it's, you know, I've been dealing with this my father-in-law.
Right.
That really took the wind out of my sails for a lot of personal stuff. I'm in a bad spot. You know, I gotta get exercise. I'm thinking about starting jiu-jitsu because I've never done it, and I want to do it. And I was talking to the anonymous vet I was talking to. Does jiu-jitsu. That fucker, he's doing BJJ, and his ACL is completely blown out. He said his meniscus is gone in his left leg, and his ACL is completely detached. And the only thing holding his leg together is the muscle. He's like, I got muscle. He's walking around. He's not using a cane. He doesn't have a leg brace. He's a tough fucker. And he was saying, you know, he doesn't, he's got issues in the past, you know, some violence issues and stuff like that. He's overcome. And one of the things he doesn't do is he won't touch heavy drugs, whether or not it was prescribed or not, you know. And he said, I've got a bottle of Wellbutrin or of Bupropion sitting at home, unopened, in a basket. And this is another reason I don't want to mention his name. And he said, I don't want to fight the VA. I don't want to say no and then become a red flag, a problem. So I just say, okay. And they send it to me, and I just throw it in a basket, and I take Tylenol. So the dude's nursing a completely destroyed knee, completely destroyed, and he's taking Tylenol. And he just got a smile on his face. The dude's a warrior and a badass, and I'm honored to know him. And he's getting me connected. Like, he invited me to this, it used to be called the Men's Mental Health Breakfast. And they got pressured with all the DEI shit because it's sponsored by OSU, Ohio State University. So they had to drop the men's off of it. But he said it's still for men. It's the Mental Health Breakfast. It's run by a guy named Obi something. He's like a sports announcer. Urban Meyer's going to be there.
Shit. Somebody just sent me that. Was that you?
I did.
Okay.
That was me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he invited me to that. And the idea being, again, that, you know, there's parallels between what the veterans are going through, obviously with the general population, but professional athletes and college athletes are going through very similar things, and nobody's talking about it. You know, so they're being prescribed antidepressants and antipsychotics.
It's funny that the men's breakfast had to, they were forced to drop the pronoun, basically.
Yeah. they were working pretty hard to strip gender from the English language.
Yeah. You know? That's fucking crazy, dude.
And that's, it is crazy. It's inevitable. You know, that's the path of all languages, is they start complex and then they just get simplified over time because people are stupid.
That's the devil, man. It's depopulation, degender.
Yeah.
Anything that's normal and natural is the enemy of these people.
Right. You can't define what normal is. Well, no. Kind of can.
Yeah.
You know, how many chromosomes are there that we deal with to find sex?
Oh, they don't want to talk about that.
X and Y. Sorry, dudes. There's no Z chromosome. That's all in your head. It's the reality anyway. But yeah, so this men's breakfast thing, hopefully can talk to some people and build eventually work toward building a coalition. So we've got the VSOs working on this. We've got, you know, Senate and House working on this. And the local, it's kind of back to the Josh Williams thing. Josh, you know, the dude, his story is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard his whole life story.
Oh, he told me in person, dude.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know what part you're talking about, but yeah.
Him growing up filthy, freaking poor and homeless.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man.
He is, and he's fighting a good fight. It's just, it's focused, you know, it's focused on getting rid of DEI. So that's a valuable effort, you know. So it's far be it for me to say he should, you know, decide to spend another part of his time on Veterans Affairs. But
you know what I mean? Who knows? He's probably.
Who knows? But what's the issue? You know, what's the issue that he could address? And I can't answer that question. So I'm ignorant of that, and I need to solve that. And this guy, this vet, he's an airborne guy, forward observer. He, again, you know, just a badass. He's fighting that fight, and he's going to help me get connected with the people locally, you know, in Ohio that I need to talk to. And so that's been one of the missing pieces. I also did talk to, I mentioned the director of the American Legion, legislative, office.
Yeah.
Talked to her. She also works with Save a Warrior. So I've got a connection with Save a Warrior. She's talking about inviting me down to their compound or, you know, their facility near Toledo, I think. I'll keep you posted on that stuff too, because if you want to,
yeah, for sure,
jump in, y'all, I'm more than happy to.
I'll tell you what, them forward observers, man, they go through the same. So that some of the shit that I've been through. Now you don't know these people, the forward observers, the medics. They get attached once we go overseas. They get attached to our platoon, and they're basically in our platoon or a company or whatever. So I mean, they go through the same shit. That it's just I've known a lot of those guys, and they go through the same shit that the infantry guys go through, you know. And they don't, sometimes they don't get enough credit.
I imagine. I can't say,
but
I'm ignorant of what you guys go through.
Yeah,
but trying to get local stuff done. So knowing him is my first step into being able to help motivate Josh Williams and guys like him to help at the state level. So I'm ignorant of what he can do or what needs to be done. So that's my challenge now, is deciphering, you know, what does Ohio do? That Ohio's a pretty vet friendly state, quite frankly. Very, you know, what did he refer to us as? It was like Texas Junior for like gun rights and stuff like that. Ohio has been very gun friendly.
Yeah.
You know, and they're pretty vet friendly.
We're pretty conservative, you know, but
there's a veterans care facility in Columbus near the Wexler Medical Center that does not care if you were dishonorably discharged. They will help you.
Huh.
And I don't think people know about that, you know, and they don't know there are facilities, even if you're red flagged or if you're a felon or whatever, they will help you. And they could provide counseling, they could provide medical support and some other stuff too. So I need to find out. He said they also will work with families. So if you're like me, you know, survivor of a vet that died, they'll help you too. So that was news to me. So I'm looking into that, and then just trying to figure out what's the landscape in Ohio, what issues are out there that need to be addressed or that can be addressed. And some of them may just be showboat stuff, right? Just to bring attention. Like if you can, you know, put up a billboard talking about something, it starts a discussion, and that could be valuable. And that's kind of what the DC trip was for me.
Right.
Was, you know, just understanding that I can talk to a Democrat senator, yeah, even though I might despise the guy because he claimed he was in Vietnam and he wasn't, motherfucker. But, you know, he's doing the Lord's work in a way. Is he, you know, like, is it completely covering the shitty stuff he tried to pull? You know, I don't think so, but whatever. It's not for me to decide, you know. Anyway, so yeah, there are people on both sides of the aisle, people in the middle, like Angus King. He's an independent. He was at the hearing. He was pretty level-headed. He caucuses with the Democrats, but he seems like a pretty decent dude, you know, from what I could tell. Of course, guys like Marcus Luttrell, fucking A, you know, they will fight the stuff hard, and Marcus has a big mouth, so.
It's a shame that you have to choose a side to even to be on that low of a level. You can't.
And that brings up a serious issue, actually, Fox.
Yeah.
If I'm sure you have some Democrat listeners, you have some independent listeners. Right now, the Democrats are caucusing against anything to do with RFK Jr. and it is absolute horse shit.
Yeah, he's a fucking Democrat, for Christ's sake.
I know. And he's but he's fighting pharma. And that is the bottom line. And so these fuckers, these 22 senators, and there's almost no one on that list you've ever heard of. It's really, they scraped the bottom of the barrel for this one. But it's low, you know. And if you, like, for instance, if we invite RFK Jr. to that June event, Democrats won't show up to it.
I believe
it. Lockstep, unified. That shit has to change. And so if you have Democrat listeners, I'm trying to be bipartisan here. I am conservative. I've been a Republican all my life. I've been tempted many times to denounce my Republicanism for independence.
I hear you.
Because they just do shit that is just dumb sometimes. Anyway, if you are a Democrat, put pressure on your representatives. Call them. They will respond. I have been shocked about that. I thought it was bullshit. You know, call your representatives. I got to go into Jordan's office and shake his hand, you know, and tell him a story. And, you know, I've worked with his political liaison. I've worked with Zinke's liaison. Just those two experiences, 100% productive, 100% helpful. So contact those people. Figure out who, you know, what district you're in if you don't know. And put pressure on them and tell them to knock this shit off when it comes to RFK Jr. Because he is not, you know, he is not a wing bat, a moon bat. Wing bat, whatever the hell that is. And the stuff he's talking about is legitimately what needs to be talked about. He's not doing things that are going to harm the American public. He's doing things that are aimed to help us, you know. And so, you know, all the chronic illness and all that stuff is important, but also calling these drug manufacturers for these antidepressants and antipsychotics and you know, benzodiazepines that just do so much damage that's being ignored. And when the Democrats come out in defense of that, it's fucking despicable.
Right.
Anybody, you know, if it's Republican or independent, I don't care. It's despicable, and you were doing more harm than good, and they need to wake up and be willing to truly have a bipartisan attitude when it comes to this issue. And
yeah.
Investigate it. Just fucking investigate it and be honest about it. And you will be shocked.
I can remember that he had a party at his house, and it was after all the COVID bullshit started to die down, but anybody that came had to have a mask on. And that was, I'm not. It was because of his wife, but now how can they fight against that? You know, the Democrats.
Well, he complied, you know, or whatever. I'm not. You know, I read his book, The Real Anthony Fauci.
Oh, nice, nice.
Holy shit, dude!
That dude is so fucking evil.
He is unbelievably evil, and that book. If you have not read that book. Or listen to the audio. I got the audiobook because it was my Florida trips. It consumed, you know, I figured I'd do that rather than listen to music or just sitting in my head on a 12-hour trip, you know. I listened to audiobooks. So I listened to his book, The Real Anthony Fauci. You got to ask yourself a couple questions. How can somebody publish a book that is aimed at a specific person?
And he still hasn't been sued.
And he hasn't been sued, and that book is still available.
Exactly. It tells you there's not one lie in it, right?
Or nothing substantial that could be, you know, he could be forced to redact, or the publisher could be forced to, you know, to pull the book.
Right.
It's damning. Dude, it is fucking damning.
Not only did he not get sued, then he turned around and fucking ran for the secretary of HHS, and he made it. I mean...
Yeah.
You can't tell me they weren't fighting, trying to find a way to get him out of there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And he is not a turncoat in terms of his political stance. He really, I don't think he is. I think he is a true blue Democrat. I think he believes in the Democrat Party. Like, you know, this is what the book had to do with it, because he opens up the book talking about what Teddy used to do, you know, and how he followed his uncle. And he just sang the praises of, you know, Teddy Kennedy, who, whatever. Apparently he did some good, so I'll give him credit for that. But, you know, I'm not a fan at all. But he makes it pretty clear in that book. He is not on the right side of the aisle.
Yeah.
Period. You know, socially.
He has changed his stance on some shit, but that's not.
Yeah.
Everybody's allowed to change their mind.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, I've got a tattoo I'm not getting rid of. It's just a life decision I made. And right.
We've all done it, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not going to try to erase it. It's something, it's a discussion point, you know, and I still believe in what I did. I still believe in what it stood for, you know. Anyway, yeah, we're all allowed to do that. I saw a story. It was a guy, dude, again, badass. He was like a tech sergeant, and he rose up from the ghetto, you know, the barrio in L.A., gang member, covered in gang tats, spent time in prison, was able to get into the Marines and just kicked ass. Was like top of his you know, BCT. I don't know what the Marines call it. Top of AIT. All this stuff, right? He just blew the doors off just because he put his mind to it. And here he is. He's, you know, getting close to being like a master sergeant. And he's covered in gang tattoos. And they're like, are you going to get those covered up? He's like, fuck no. That's my story.
Covered up
with
what?
That's how I got here. That's how I got here. You know, that's what made me who I am. Was it a mistake? You could say that, but I'm not going to pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, so that was really powerful. Powerful story. It was kind of like the dude. I heard the story. This was back in the 90s. This guy, he was a sergeant too, and he had "fuck you" tattooed on the outer edge of his saluting hand. So every time he would salute a superior officer, he'd say "fuck you," and the dude just wouldn't relent on it. He's like, no, that's my attitude, man. Fuck you. Who are you? Who are you, you know, Butterbar, telling me what to do?
Oh,
God. I've been in the shit. I've, you know, led men to battle and all this stuff. Anyway, very funny.
That's so funny, you know, dude, because these guys get out of West Point and their first duty assignment is as a platoon leader. And they're trying to tell the... You know, and now if we're stateside, that's fine. They're telling the platoon sergeant what to do and shit, and then... But when you get overseas and you got some Butterbar trying to fucking run things, and the platoon sergeant's going to be like, sir, with all due respect, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, let me handle it. We'll make you look good.
All right, just Brian, I got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, man. That was great talking to you. Yeah, a lot of good news, so...
I'm
glad I could share that.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody updated, man. Have you back here let me know the next time.
As I hear things, like I said, as I hear things from the Wall Street Journal, from, you know, the planning for the June event, I'll share that with you too, because if anybody could make it, you know, it's going to be a thing.
Nice. For sure. Okay.
Big veteran event, and, you know, the more the merrier, because...
Now, you know, what's the website?
Gruntstyle.com.
Not Gruntstyle Foundation. It's just Gruntstyle.com.
So Gruntstyle is the parent organization.
Okay.
And they are dedicating Memorial Day to fund the foundation. So the foundation's independent. Their books are not connected, right? So it's like the foundation is responsible for raising its own money and stuff like that. And we're hurting. So Gruntstyle has decided to take a day and just basically donate all the proceeds to the foundation.
Nice.
And
all right.
I'm telling you, it's not, these people are not wasting a dime. It's all focused to this effort. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm honored to be a part of it. And yeah, save your bucks for Memorial Day. And just go to gruntstyle.com. You know, get a shirt, get a decal, get a hoodie, whatever.
Hat, shirts, cool, all shit that shit.
They have a new shirt now. It's, it says Cannabis Helps.
Okay.
They have Whiskey Helps. They have Brisket Helps. They have Cannabis Helps now. So, yeah, they're kind of a no bullshit, very in your face, you know, military humor at its best. For women,
nice.
Too, there's a lot of, you know, beautiful and dangerous is like one of their women's shirts. It's pretty cool. Anyway, yeah,
I'm gonna buy something off of there. I'll wait till Memorial Day.
Good on you. Thank you.
All right, brother. Catch you next time.
See you, man.
All right.
Bye.
Recording stopped.